10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 podcast. It's brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. Be sure to check out Expand the Box Score. Use the promo code 40. Get 4 days free trial. Check out some advanced stats. This time of year might not be your thing, but, you know, check it out. Maybe it's something you're interested in for next season. However, it's finally over. Week 17. This season seemed to go fast, but now that it's here, looking back, it's like, ooh, this is a long year. But here we are, most people fantasy championship weekend. Some wrapped up last week, and psychopaths have a league that extends into next week. Not me anywhere, but here we are going to break down these games. Walk, how are you, and how are you doing fantasy-wise?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I'm one, and you and I disagreed early on this, and I was like, yes, extra football. I'm here for it. And you're like, no, why'd the NFL have to go and do this? Keep it simple. You didn't have to add a game. And now I agree with you. It has been an absolute disaster these last couple of weeks. COVID with injuries. The best teams aren't winning fantasy championships this year. I mean, that's just the unfortunateness of it. It's the luckiest teams are winning leagues. And that's I've seen that personally play out in multiple leagues of my own, but still alive in a couple. Actually, you and I dueled it out in Infinity War a week ago with the season that ended in week 16. And why don't you tell everyone how you feel about Devontae Parker?
Let me, you know what, go back to the previous episode where I specifically said here, boy, if you're counting on somebody in that dog shit Monday night game to win you a ship, you're going to be looking really bad. And yeah, I needed six measly points from Devontae Parker, who I believe did not even get a target, drew me the fucking goose egg, and I took an L, and I had Burkhead and a couple other guys on my bench that would have sealed that win easily for me, but went against my own advice unintentionally because I think I'd set the lineup even before we recorded. But
imagine the stories you could have told your grandkids about Rex Burkhead winning you a fantasy championship in 2021. Yeah. I mean, just think about the tales by the fireside, you know, around Christmas time every year of the year was 2021, and I benched Devontae Parker for Rex Burkhead, and he won me a championship in Infinity Wars against my co-host, who I still podcast with today, Matt Walker. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been beautiful. I was thinking about starting Craig Reynolds over Tony Pollard. That's just how crazy this world has been. And Craig Reynolds outscored Tony Pollard because they didn't use Tony Pollard for anything in that epic just bludgeoning of the Washington football team by Dallas last week. So crazy how things happen. In my home league, I lost James Robinson at the very beginning of the game to the Achilles. And then I had a trio of – it was Keenan Allen didn't do shit.
Yeah, that hurt
I traded for Cordarrelle Patterson. He scored a touchdown, but still didn't do shit, single-digit points. And then DK Metcalf catches a 41-yard bomb on the first series for Buffalo, and he has two catches on that drive, doesn't catch another pass the rest of the day. So literally, like, even when it looked like it was going good, it just petered out for me. And then I run into the Zeke Elliott scores two touchdowns, but literally doesn't do shit in the game. The Devontae Parker bludgeoning and a few other, you know, random acts of violence that cost me going to the championship in my home main dynasty league. So I was on the doorstep. I actually was the second high scoring team of the four in the finals, but I played the highest scoring team. So shit happens. Even with 1 point from James Robinson, I ended up putting the second highest points up. So, yes, I'm crying, but that's a part of fantasy football. The best team doesn't always win. It's unfortunate. Get you coming back next year. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, we're obviously going to talk about it more in the offseason as things shake up. But just real quick, because you threw his name out there, I'm just curious. what, where do you have Metcalf? I mean, coming into the year, he was most people's. He is the dynasty wide receiver one. And then just, I mean, millions of reasons. Russ got hurt. When Russ is there, they don't seem to be on the same page. Looks like Wilson is not going to be Seattle's quarterback next year. What are your thoughts on Metcalf dynasty-wise? I mean, is he still in that top three for you? Is he leaked out of there? Where are you at with him now?
Yeah, I mean, I was always and still am a big fan of DK Metcalf. I think he is just a game changer. I think ultimately he still is a wide receiver one in Dynasty, but a low-end wide receiver one. A lot of names have passed him in this last year. Whether it's the Russ injury or the nagging injury that Metcalf has or his own limitations, I mean, he's still not a good route runner. At the end of the day, he is just physically dominant. So when he gets volume, it typically pans out. But even there's been games this year that he had, you know, double-digit target volume and still couldn't produce. So I don't know. It just seems like Seattle's broken all around. And you want to say Russ won't be there, so everything's going to change. Well, it's not like Russ is a terrible quarterback. I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's just kind of petering off. Like the next guy could be a year of Geno Smith, who looked good in short bursts, but sure as shit, you know that's not going to pan out over a season. So kind of a wait and see approach with DK, unfortunately. Hopefully he can get himself healthy in the offseason and kind of rebound to a, you know, that kind of elite dominant type big body wide receiver that we know and love. But I just don't think they scheme appropriately for any single one of their players in Seattle, personally.
That's a perfect summation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
no one is put in a position to succeed.
Exactly. I mean, a lot needs to change there, and you know, maybe Russ leaving town is going to cause, you know, them to reconsider the future of Pete Carroll and the offensive coordinator and everything that is Seattle, and just really blow it up. So who knows? But I know they don't have a first round pick because they just had to have Jamal Adams a year ago. So.
They may not have one for 2 years.
That's entirely possible. So I don't even know what that rebuild would look like in Seattle. But what I can promise you, without a shadow of a doubt, is Detroit at Seattle, 4:25 p.m. on Fox this Sunday. DK Metcalf is going to explode because it doesn't matter for me anywhere. So 100 and a touchdown floor for DK against the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
All right, I got a name for you. Would you rather have Metcalf or Waddle right now?
Waddle.
Look at that, climbing up. All right, let's
get it's ironic because I wouldn't say Waddle's a wide receiver one in Dynasty yet. He's looking all the part. If I really sat down and put pen to paper, you know, maybe. But I would, if you just asked me to rank, DK would come to mind before Waddle. But just seeing what Waddle's doing in this offense, I am a Tua believer. I think his role can only grow. You know, he's already getting the volume. He's explosive after the catch. He is, talk about scheming for a player. That entire offense is schemed around Jalen Waddle, yeah. And he produces. You were talking about having someone have to show up on Monday Night Football. Well, sure shit, Jalen Waddle won me a best ball to advance to the finals because I was losing going into Monday Night Football, and he put me over the top with like his 30-whatever point effort in that league. So I actually did advance to the finals in a league because of a player on Monday Night. This is the only player on Monday Night to do shit was Jalen Waddle, but – yeah, I have to give that some serious thought.
So we're going to do the timer thing again because there are so few people still playing, so few leagues still going on. We're not going to spend a ton of time here just talking about guys who might be the key to winning a championship this weekend. A lot of people may not even be listening because they have washed their hands of fantasy football for a few weeks here because they're dead in the water. So, Walk, whenever you're ready, lead us through the games, and let's go.
Yeah, and I was looking at the COVID tracker that I used last week, but just in the first game of the players I actually pulled up, I'm pretty sure that Gabriel Davis and Cole Beasley were both removed from the COVID list, and this list still indicates that they're on it, so it hasn't been updated. So I'm not going to even reference this list. If we know of anyone particularly that is on the COVID list or will impact a game, we'll reference it specifically, but I'm not going to run down the team names. But right out of the gate, the Atlanta Falcons at the Buffalo Bills, which is why I looked at the Buffalo Bills. Give me your thoughts on frigid Buffalo in late December, where I think the weather is supposed to be 37 and snow is what it has on CBS Sports.
Yeah, you know, we not doing what we've been doing, but there's three games this week that are among the lowest we've seen all season, and Atlanta's one of them. Projected total of 15, Buffalo's at 29.5, which is second highest. So we have second fewest against second highest. They're predicting a blowout, which, you know, we've talked about Buffalo before. They've tended to underperform sometimes, and especially coming off a game against New England last week, I could see them in line for a letdown. I don't think it's going to be this massive blowout like it looks like on paper right now. So betting, give me Atlanta plus the 14.5. You're going to give me two touchdowns against a team that's disappointed. And Atlanta sucks, but their game, they're still in the playoff picture, which is insane. But Atlanta, Cordarrelle Patterson only, and the Buffalo side, it's Diggs and it's Josh Allen. And if Gabe Davis is healthy, I would feel confident plugging him in. Although, you know, there's enough weapons. If Beasley's back, Emmanuel Sanders is still there. It's a lot of guys to force feed. And if I don't think they're getting to that 30 points that's projected, I don't know if I trust anyone outside of Diggs and Allen.
Yeah, well said. And Bills control their own destiny, 9-6, have a tiebreaker against the Patriots for the AFC East. And their last two games are Falcons and then the New York Jets. So even poor effort by the Bills should see them win the division at 11-6. So whoever put their money on Buffalo early on, especially after that loss to Pittsburgh, congratulations. You hit the nail on the head here. I could see this being a letdown, just like, let's just win this game type of game, maybe a little more running than we're used to. There were temporal expectations a little bit on Josh Allen. Can you start Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yes.
Yes. If you're there, you know, kind of have to, if you get that positional advantage as well. But he's been banned. He's lived on touchdowns the last couple of weeks. His yards have disappeared. I think he might have hit that 31-year-old slash wall of his that, you know.
Yeah, and his usage has been weird.
Yes. They're going back to Mike Davis. He's not catching as many passes.
I think he's hurt, though. I think that's part of it.
Probably just running the string. So Buffalo, I agree with you, might not be a cover there, but I also don't like Atlanta outdoors. So, you know, and it's Cordarrelle Patterson, Kyle Pitts, no one else on the Atlanta side. We went over, but yeah, sue us. Next game. This one will be quick. New York Giants at the Chicago Bears, and weather is 28 and snow there. So colder in Soldier Field for two teams that largely don't matter.
Mike Glennon revenge game. Yeah, lowest total of the week. One of the lowest of the years, possibly. I think it might be the lowest of the year, 37.5. Not a surprise. The Giants are so bad that somehow this shit Bears team is a 6-point home favorite. Giants are at 15.75, and the Bears as a favorite are at only 21.75. There's no one you can trust here for fantasy. David Montgomery is about it. And, you know, we talk about this each week. The Giants suck, but Barkley gets catches out of the backfield, making him valuable in PPR. In standard, I don't think I would be interested in playing him either. The Bears are not horrific against opposing running backs. 37 points between two teams. Where's it going to come from? I don't know. I would actually take the under. No thank you to anyone on either side here.
Ball's going under 37. The New York Giants, seventh most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. You already mentioned David Montgomery. He is a must start, you know, could be a league winner here. The Bears, you're right, not terrible, but 11th in fantasy points to the running back position. So you're right, go back to Saquon. If he's gotten you this far, which I highly doubt he has, I'm not going to expect to see a lot of championship winning rosters with Saquon on it. He has buried teams this year. The Bears, sixth in fantasy points to the quarterback, eighth in fantasy points to wide receiver. Doesn't matter because you're not starting a single player on the Giants in the pass catching core on the Giants side. Although they're 21st in fantasy points allowed to the tight end, I still do believe in Cole Kmet. If you're in a pinch and have gotten this far, I like his involvement with Justin Fields. I think he could be a league winner.
Is Fields going to be starting? Did they say?
I just expected him to start. Then I guess I shouldn't be expecting him to start because he was only out because of COVID, right?
No.
What?
He was on the sideline.
Was he?
Yes.
Why'd they set him? I thought he had COVID.
No, he was also, quote unquote, injured to get Foles to work there. I like Kmet, like you said, if Fields is in there, but if it's Dalton or Foles, give me Jimmy G. Jimmy Graham.
Literally, I Was totally unaware. I thought it was COVID. 100%. I didn't even give it a second thought. A limited with an ankle. Okay, was a limited participant on Wednesday, while fellow Bears quarterback was a full participant with groin. Early Wednesday, lame duck coach Matt Nagy said it is still too early to determine a starter for Sunday's game against the Giants, although he did mention that Fields would need to be extremely healthy to play. That sounds like code for I am just going to keep pushing back against this organization and not start if I could help it. So, that sucks. I don't know, not to belittle it. I really thought it was just because of COVID that he missed a week. So, might have to retract that Cole Kmet take. That is Justin Fields specific. Moving on to
dub Jimmy Graham over it.
Yeah, it's probably the game of the week. Kansas City Chiefs at the Joe Burrow slinging, burying the Baltimore Raven Bengals.
Have you seen his stats against Baltimore in his career?
He just destroys them.
It's ungodly. I don't have it in front of me, but they
were. And it's intentional.
Yes, they were shown during the game. It's some insane number. But
I have him in a one quarterback league where I also have Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, and I swear on everything holy, I will never start a quarterback over Joe Burrow when he's playing the Ravens for the rest of his career. I just blindly will put him in the starting lineup. I don't care who the other two are playing or anything else. It's a set it and forget it. He owns the Ravens.
So second highest total of the week, not really surprising. Big, what have you done for me lately with Cincinnati coming off that big one? 49.5. Cincinnati only projected for 22 at home, which is surprising because Kansas City's defense is not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. Kansas City, 27.5. And this is probably the most important game in real life football, too. I think it can upturn the AFC playoff picture completely if Cincinnati does pull off the win, which I think they're capable of doing. Kansas City has not blown me away. We saw Tyreek Hill come back and look like shit coming off the COVID list. Kelce missed the game on the COVID list. He may come back and have a stinker like we saw from Hill. I mean, there's no way to know until he gets out there. But I don't feel as confident as I usually do playing those Chiefs, just like last week. Kind of sucked. And you can't trust the secondary options, you know, the Pringles and Hardmans of the world, running back. I do kind of like Darrell Williams. I like Darrell Williams this week. I like Derek Gore a little bit just because if the other guys, you know, if Hill and Kelce are not up to 100%, those guys are going to get involved a lot more. On the Cincinnati side, Burrow spreads the ball around. All three of those receivers are in play. Mixon's obviously in play, and Burrow's in play.
You're not good with this client, with the two-minute timer. So you're still talking too much. The Kansas City Chiefs have already clinched the AFC West, but you're right, they're still playing for that one seed. The Cincinnati Bengals are in first, but haven't clinched yet. They're just a game clear of Baltimore. I'm pretty sure they've swept them, so they'll have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So, yeah, there's still a lot to be had on the Bengals side of the house. I think this is ultimately going to be a good game. Everything outside of that, yeah, Darrell Williams, league winner. You know, he explodes when there's no Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's a more efficient runner. He's a better pass catcher. I mean, he just puts up more fantasy points when there's no CEH than CEH1 without him. It's undeniable, irrefutable, terrible pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire by the Kansas City Chiefs when they should have just went with whatever running back in a Pat Mahomes offense. Tyreek Hill played last week and was not a part of the offense whatsoever. It was insane how easily they were able to move the ball and be successful without their top two pass catchers pretty much involved in any capacity. Getting them both back this week should upgrade their offense and, as stated, still a lot to play for on the Chiefs side. Bengals just keep churning out points with all those wide receivers, Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon. But the Chiefs, sending out world beaters, their defense has been a lot better lately. And I don't think they even had Chris Jones last week. So I would temper expectations a little bit. You're not going to get the Burrow blow-up game that we did a week ago because he's not playing the Ravens. But this is a get your starters from this game because the points will be at a premium. To your point, there's a lot of low totals this week.
Yeah, it's been that way. It's trending that way the last few weeks. But anyway, yes. Next game.
Next game, we are going to be quick. Miami Dolphins at the Tennessee Titans. And do a quick weather check here for Tennessee. What's Tennessee saying? 57. There's snow everywhere, guys. There's just a snowflake next to every weather temperature. So expect some sort of snow. Not too cold, though.
I'm not a meteorologist, but it can't snow if it's 57 degrees out.
I wouldn't have thought so either.
You know, Tennessee keeps winning these ugly games. Miami's hot. I think seven in a row now at this point, seven wins. Give me the hot hand. And, you know, if we smash Tennessee every chance we get, 3.5 points, they're getting the three for being at home. Miami, to me, looks – obviously they won seven in a row, but they're trending upward, whereas Tennessee has looked like shit, even when they were winning at the beginning of the year, in my opinion. So on the Miami side, we mentioned the name earlier. Waddle's the only guy trustable here. I don't know if you could even trust Tua. Tennessee,
AJ Brown sure.
came back, but that's it. Not a lot of fantasy points here. And it shouldn't. It's 41. It's the fourth lowest total of the week.
Yeah, right there with you. It's, you know, Waddle, you're definitely starting. AJ Brown, you're definitely starting. I probably wouldn't be going too wide on that. You nailed the Miami Dolphins, winners of seven straight, second longest streak in the NFL this year to the Kansas City Chiefs, who won eight straight. Pretty impressive what they're doing as a team that started out 1-7. You know, they're seven straight to get to 8-7. You know, there's the turnaround is real. Tua's been good. Their defense has been very good. I think Tennessee's going to try and run the ball as they are wont to do, and you know probably should have moderate success. I think the Dolphins are pretty good against the run. They're actually 26 in fantasy points allowed to the running back, so stout, I would almost say. So it might not work out in Tennessee's favor. This is the ugly game that Tennessee somehow wins and then clinches the AFC South, because the Colts, spoiler alert, seem, you know, are likely to be without Carson Wentz, and they need to win out and have Tennessee lose out to be able to leapfrog them for the AFC South. So I wouldn't be looking too deep for fantasy points in this one.
No.
All right, moving on to your Las Vegas Raiders at the aforementioned Indianapolis Colts, who at present are scheduled to be without Carson Wentz on the COVID list for this one.
Yeah, I don't have an old line. Is Indy still a 7.5 point favorite?
I have 6.5, so yes.
So it didn't even move with the Wentz news. Wentz is worth a point, which is, to me, crazy. I guess it's 6.5 now. Yeah, I had it at 7.5, so I must have pulled this right shortly before or after that news broke. Vegas, only looking at 18.75, which surprised me. I thought this would be a lot closer. Indy at 26. Indy's among one of the higher scoring teams, and the Raiders, one of the many teams who are not getting to 21 this week. Look, if Wentz is out, or if Wentz is in there, it's all Jonathan Taylor. With Wentz in there, maybe you could throw a dart on some of these receivers. I wouldn't feel comfortable trying to win a fantasy championship, but get me out of this passing game completely. It's Jonathan Taylor or nothing. On the Vegas side, again, Josh Jacobs is involved in you know, with the injuries to Kenyon Drake, he's been a little more heavily used, but there's nobody I like in that receiving core at this point. This is not a good game for fantasy either. Total's 45.
Yep, Vegas, eighth in fantasy points allowed to the running back. So Jonathan Taylor, you know, whether it's Wentz or Ellinger, is just going to gash him. First in fantasy points allowed to the tight end. So pick your poison, Mo Alie-Cox or Jack Doyle. It's going to catch a touchdown in this one. On the Colts side, Colts, eighth in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback and fifth in fantasy points allowed to the tight end. So even if Waller doesn't come back, I think he's
been ruled out.
Ruled out. Foster Moreau. Fantasy championship streaming tight end winner. Just keep going back to the Foster Moreau well. And yeah, little else. Yeah, Jacobs, because he's getting all the volume. You want to trust Hunter Henry? He's awesome whenever I'm playing against him in fantasy. Just to let everyone know, I'm not playing against him in any fantasy championships. So he's probably going to have a shitty week, like 4 for 37. So you do with that information as you will. He only explodes when I'm playing against him. Moving down to, which would be another quick
would
game.
Did you say Hunter Jackson Henry Jaguars and the Patriots?
Did I say Hunter Henry? Hunter Renfro. Probably did say Hunter Henry 17 times, but you know what I'm talking about. Hunter Renfro. But interesting transition. We will go from Jacksonville at the Hunter Henry New England Patriots. What do you got here?
Jacksonville. Lowest total we've seen down the year for sure. Projected to only score 13. So I picked up Dare Ugbalwe in a league, and I may have to play him this week. And I don't hate it, because the Patriots are not going to key in on him. They're going to try to you know, make it rough for Lawrence. So it's gross and ugly. Nobody on Jacksonville. Like I said, I may be forced to play Dari just because of what's happened at running back in the last few weeks here with injuries and stuff. But on the New England side, you mentioned Hunter Henry. I think he is in play. The wide receivers, you know, none of them are going to be league winners, unfortunately, in championship week, but they're guys you could plug in as your wide receiver three. I still like Kendrick Bourne. I like Jacoby Myers. They're not going to give you zero, which is what you're trying to avoid, especially at this point. I don't trust Mac Jones, and Harris looks really good. I mean, coming off a big game, but he's looked good most of the year, and he seems to be the preferred option, which is something we haven't seen for years in New England. So it's hard to trust him just based off of history, but that's about it for New England.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Jacksonville somehow outside of the top 12 in fantasy points allowed to the four key positions, but it is 14th against a running back. I mean, Damian Harris, 3 touchdowns last week. I mean, just running right back to the well with him. 13th in fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver. You mentioned the guys that are most likely. It's Bourne. It's Christ. You probably said his name with Jacoby Myers. I mean, those are the only guys you're really going to. 20th in fantasy points allowed to the tight end. So maybe Hunter Henry, maybe not. Those tight ends disappear too quick in the Patriots offense. On the Patriots side, you nailed it. I mean, 18th is the best they are, and it's in fantasy points allowed to the running back. So maybe your boy Dario Ogunbowale can get his way there in volume and a bunch of dump down passes because there's literally no one else. But they are 28th to 31st in every other key position. They are defense one this week. And the most likely to pitch a shutout against their opponent. So hopefully it's PPR with your Dario Ogunbowale, because I don't envision a touchdown in that young man's future. Moving on to another one-sided game. Tampa Bay has to head up to MetLife Stadium to bludgeon Zach Wilson and the New York Jets.
You mentioned it, super lopsided. They're Only a 13-point road favorite. Jets are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fewest points. Tampa is third most. you know, Tampa, due to injuries and other stuff, it's hard to trust anybody now. You know, these guys probably got you to a fantasy championship. But now that you're here, do you want to roll Ronald Jones out there?
Oh, you know
I don't.
You know who I'm rolling out there this week.
Brashad Perryman?
No.
Brashad Perryman is the guy to have, actually. I mean, Antonio Brown obviously is their wide receiver one. If Evans is out and he got heavily peppered with targets. I played Cameron Brayton in the league last week, who did get in the end zone. So the names to know are currently out, which is no good. Evans may get in there, but as far as I know, I don't think he's practiced yet. Jets side, nobody. So
the correct answer is Keyshawn motherfucking Vaughn, John.
Oh, I didn't know you'd ever be on that bandwagon.
Listen, I was there to start with you. I've just kind of accepted the inevitable, but shot out of a fucking cannon on that 55-yard touchdown run while plotting Ronald Jones 20 carried his way to 3.2 yards per carry in epically disgracing fashion. So maybe we see a little more Keyshawn Vaughn in what should be a blowout against the Jets, who are first in fantasy points allowed to the running back position. So, listen, I don't know. I want to pin my fantasy life to Keyshawn Vaughn, but I'm going to say 10-plus points guaranteed for him, because I'm expecting enough work to get him 40 yards, and I'm going to say that he gets a touchdown in this game as well.
I like it.
And you nailed the Jets side. Nothing. I mean, Michael Carter's the only guy you can trust, and the Buccaneers.
Not in this matchup.
Don't allow running backs to happen, largely 30th in fantasy points allowed. Zach Wilson isn't good enough to take advantage of their fifth place ranking in quarterback points allowed. So there's just not enough squeeze for those New York Jets. This should be handily won by the Bucs, which is why I am going to trust Keyshawn Vaughn. Moving down, my Philadelphia Eagles head back to they head to Washington now. They just played them 2 weeks ago to face off against the Washington football team. Where let's just look at weather here real quick, because we're doing that right now. And it looks like 64 in rain, John. So at least they understood that in the 60s, it has to be rain. So
real quick, explain to me why Philly is only a 3.5-point road favorite. Washington is terrible. And that team is buried with distractions from whatever lawsuits ownership has going on. I think in the last 2 weeks, two players have either had family members killed or have been in some sort of other horrific incident, not including people punching each other on the fucking sidelines. This team is, I've never seen such an unintentional word here, but death spiral. I mean, this team is dog shit trash. I don't know how they're going to get to 21. They got too much going on off the field. This season is way over. I think Philly crushes them just because Washington is not going to be in this whatsoever. That being said, on the Philly side, give me Jalen Hurts. I think he's in line for a good game. Wide receivers, I don't really trust any of these guys. Running back with the injuries Philly has, it's going to be Boston Scott only, which I picked him up in one league and we'll probably have to play him, which I don't love, but it be what it be, especially if I think they're going to win by a decent margin. We should see a lot of Boston Scott. But Washington, aside from Antonio Gibson, who now has a hip injury, I don't know if you could play anyone.
Man, our boy Antonio Gibson literally gutting it out, you know, when there's nothing to fight for
looks anymore. Good, too.
He just give us a healthy 2022 season for him. That would be amazing. And I can explain why the Eagles are only 3-point favorite, because right now they're a 7 seed in the playoff race, and that's just how they break our hearts as Philadelphia fans. They will lose this game to Washington in, like, epic fashion, like pick 6 in the fourth quarter. For Jalen Hurts, but you hit the nail on the head. Boston Scott is a must start. Miles Sanders is 100% out with a broken hand. It seems unlikely that Jordan Howard is going to play. Boston Scott's going to get all the work with Kenny Gainwell. It's kind of a change of pace. They signed Kerryon Johnson, I think, to their practice squad to bring him back as a depth piece. So this could be a 20-touch Boston Scott game. Could be a sneaky Gainwell game as well, because you know they like to split the usage up with running backs. So I really like Boston Scott. I don't know if you mentioned Dallas Goedert, but he disappointed last week after a massive week the week prior. I would hope that he would get back on track. He was wide open on quite a few occasions, and Jalen Hurts just didn't see him. Where Goedert could have had a 2-touchdown game last week against the Giants. So go there. Outside of it, you're right. I did Washington side. I mean, Antonio Gibson, even in game injury, or just, you know, they kind of pulled him because of a blowout last week. That could happen again. So, you know, the fear is real on the Antonio Gibson side. And Terry McLaurin hasn't been able to get shit going because he's commanding all the attention from opposing offensive. And Darius Slay has been one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NFL this year. So I would not be starting Terry McLaurin if I could literally help it. Moving down to the Los Angeles Rams at the Baltimore Ravens. You know, probably qualify as the second biggest game of the there's another one down there. Maybe two more. But give me Los Angeles at Baltimore. Does Lamar Jackson play? Does it even matter anymore? Are they better off without Lamar Jackson? Some on Twitter would say, you know, contract negotiation wise, 63 in rain in Baltimore, as it's very close to Philadelphia. Good.
That was good. I don't think Jackson plays. I saw some practice footage of that guy hobbling around after throwing a pass. He looks like shit. And if they have any hopes of making any noise in the playoffs, they need him 100% healthy once the playoffs start.
They gotta get there.
Well, that's what I mean. But I don't think I think they're good enough without him to get there. But once they're there, they need him. So I have nothing else to add on Baltimore. I think their receiving core, they spread it around too much. They're too run heavy to trust anyone week in, week out. On the flip side, and somehow Devonta Freeman is fantasy viable. I've had a couple leagues where I've played him like 4 weeks in a row, even through the playoffs. Rams on the other side. Henderson is out. Sony Michel's look good. They're teasing us with all this Cam Akers footage. Obviously, if he is active, you're not playing that guy. But no. Stafford's in play. I think you could play all the Rams wide receivers. Even Van Jefferson hit a few disappointing weeks. He still gets a ton of red zone targets. So of all the fringe wide receiver team wide receiver threes, I see him getting a lot more quality targets than many wide receiver twos in the league. So. But he has to convert them, which he does probably at a super low rate from at least what I've noticed. I haven't crunched the numbers, but He has that touchdown upside because they do look for him in the red zone. But this game, I think, might be a little more mucky than we want.
Yeah, don't disagree. I mean, listen, you catch a passes from Matthew Stafford, they're probably better quality targets than a lot of other wide receivers. Right. The wide receiver threes are seeing. Right now, Baltimore on the outside looking in, they're eighth seed in the AFC. So they have to win games. I mean, unfortunately, it's clearly a high ankle for Lamar Jackson. And him immobile is no bueno. So Tyler Huntley's still on the COVID list, at least what I saw. So is it another Josh Johnson week? If it is, the Los Angeles Rams are going to steamroll them. I just don't see how any other viable outcome, even a limited Lamar Jackson. So their playoff hopes are slipping away. So they're going to have to make do some desperate things soon. But it's Mark Andrews or bust on the Baltimore side. On Los Angeles, obviously, they're focusing on getting Odell Beckham, keeping him happy. And I think that Cooper Kupp is like a reasonable amount of receptions and yards away from breaking both records. He's going to break both of them. He might actually do it in this week because Baltimore secondary is one of the worst in the entire league. So congratulations to all you Cooper Kupp owners who are clearly playing in the fantasy championships, because he is going to eat against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday.
Does he repeat next year?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a historic, you know. Granted, he was doing it before Robert Woods went down, then Robert Woods went down, and then you're acclimating, and Odell Beckham. There was no one that was getting volume. When Robert Woods was starting to see that volume, it did hurt Cooper Kupp's production for a couple weeks there. So I would like to check the ebb and flow of things for him. This is just a stars aligning season, you know, for Cooper Kupp. So when they get Cam Akers back and come a little more run-centric than I think they really were this year, they'll still be awesome, but this is all time. And I think he's turning 30. So, you know, wide receivers die when they turn 30. So time to move on. Denver Broncos at the disappointing fucking Justin Herbert, just laying an absolute egg against the Houston Texans.
Killed me.
Chargers. Oh, yo, got bit me in a lot of places, not only on the Herbert side, Keenan Allen side.
Oh, that's what I was referring to, man. Hey,
didn't do anything. I mean, I honestly thought, I checked like several times. I'm like, he's got to be hurt, right? I'm like, nope, he's playing. He's running routes, logging snaps, just getting in his cardio today as he's throwing it to everyone else and just a ton of Justin Jackson on the week. Because, of course, you know, it's Justin Jackson season in week 16. Still there, Johnny? Can't hear you. All right, I'll dive in. So what are we talking about here? At Los Angeles, indoors, so weather doesn't matter. Denver, hopefully getting Teddy Bridgewater back, because Drew Lock was an abject disaster the week before, even though I was pretty interested to see what he could do with these pass catchers. But apparently no one can do anything with these pass catchers this year. So good luck. Los Angeles still somewhat susceptible to the run. So, you know, if you're still alive at this point, Javonte Williams, maybe. Melvin Gordon, hopefully not. On the Los Angeles side, this should be a bounce back spot at home for them. But Denver's defense is a pretty solid defense as far as fantasy points allowed. 30th in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback, 19th to the wide receiver, 28th to the tight end. So temper expectations in the passing game, but we should hopefully get Austin Eckler back. And if we do, Austin Eckler will probably do exactly what Justin Jackson did a week earlier. Welcome back, John.
I'm back. I thought you disappeared, and then my internet dropped, so it must have been me.
Two cents.
Didn't hear anything you said. Drew Lock sucks. All the Denver receivers take a downgrade. I like both running backs.
You literally just said what I said in a minute and a half in 10 seconds. So good for you, buddy. Moving on to the Houston Texans, who, again, they're not allowed to have win streaks, so let's not get ahead of ourselves, about to get just crippled by, it sounds like, the Trey Lance-led San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah, it's Trey Lance. This shit with Shanahan, you know, saying Jimmy's got a chance to play. He's got a grade 3 sprain and a bone broke off where the ligament comes from. As someone who's sustained multiple injuries in life, that's you're not playing. Your thumb on your throwing hand? No. there's 0% chance Garoppolo plays. The interesting thing here to me is San Francisco's projected for 30 points, which they've never, I don't remember being in our top team conversation. Houston tied for second fewest, so another one of those games. 15-point road home favorite for the Niners. Look, it's Debo. I can play Ayuk. You could play Kittle. Get pieces of this offense. I picked up Lance in one league, and I think I may just play him because I'm playing a Niners fan. So he like just to dig that dagger in to win. It's hard to do it because you don't know what the team's going to look like with him in there. Houston, look, if they're down by 15, Mills might get 300 something yards. Could get some garbage time work. I don't trust him. You don't get to a fantasy championship with Mills. Maybe if he was on your bench and you're losing Wentz this week, you may have to play him. But Houston, not interested in anyone there. If Cooks comes back again, he's the recipient of all that Mills garbage time production. But I don't want to trust that this week.
All right. For whatever it's worth, George Kittle said he expects Jimmy Garoppolo to be on the field on Sunday. So. You do that information as you will. I would love to see Trey Lance in this scenario, but San Fran
0% chance
back in the playoff picture. They're in right now, right? I think with their streak. Let me scroll down. Yep, they're the sixth seed. They're above the Eagles right now at 8-7. So they should keep that train rolling against whoever. You know, the Texans want to roll out there because it's just going to be ugly. A lot of running, Jeff Wilson, Debo Samuel, whoever the quarterback is. I'm not going to just pivot over to a Trey Lance if I'm in a fantasy championship, even a single QB league, because you just never know. And, on the Texan side, it'd be Brandon Cooks. But you just mentioned Davis Mills. I'm not starting Davis Mills in this matchup.
Maybe. If you lost the guy,
I'd start Trey Lance over Davis Mills. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So no Davis Mills. Let's just echo that. No Davis Mills. What it matters. Moving on to what should be a pretty high scoring game if one of these quarterbacks doesn't epically poop the bed again like he's been for balance of this year, it seems like. Arizona Cardinals at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, highest total of the week, 51.5. You mentioned should be high scoring. That's what Vegas thinks. Dallas also one of the highest scoring as they've been most weeks, 28.5. You mentioned it. Both of these quarterbacks have had some big letdown games for fantasy throughout the season. So if they live up to potential, there's plenty of weapons here. Do they all get used? Does one team disappoint? It's hard to trust anyone here. James Conner coming back sucks because Edmonds looked good when he had, the backfield to himself a week ago. Despite these points, it's hard to trust anyone here. I mean, you're going to put all these guys in and cross your fingers and hope that, maybe it's the week for Christian Kirk. Maybe it's Michael Gallup. Maybe Amari Cooper catches a long one. This is not... It's not cut and dry like we see with the Chiefs. Both of these teams spread it around enough to really scare the shit out of you. And with these guys coming back, like I said, James Conner, it hurts James Conner and it hurts Edmonds on Dallas. If it is a closer game, you mentioned Tony Pollard at the start of the show, because he's hurt, they didn't use him in that blowout. But if it's close and Zeke's knee's a little banged up, you're going to see a little more of him than we probably want if you're a Zeke owner. So this is a lot of points, but spread around, not really consolidated somewhere where you're going to want it for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, in a blowout last week, Dallas somehow. I mean, Dak Prescott pretty much did all this damage in the first half, 330 and 4. He's not getting there against the Cardinals. Zeke stunk. I watched the game. He was bad. He didn't look good as a running back. He caught a wide open 5-yard touchdown pass on busted coverage and. Good luck trusting him. Cardinals are 29th in fantasy points allowed to the running back. As far as both of these passing games are concerned, somehow Cardinals 29th in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback, Dallas 27th in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback, but they're both in the lower half of the league in fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver. The Cardinals 10th in fantasy points to the wide receiver, Dallas 15th. So I guess that's the only position that scores because somehow a quarterback's not good, but the wide receivers are still good against these teams. So Get to your wide receivers. The interesting one is that the Arizona Cardinals are 29th in fantasy points allowed to the tight end, and Dalton Schultz has become an integral part of that offense. He could have had an all-time game if he didn't get absolutely laid out right before halftime by that Washington defender. Now, Dalton Schultz came back in and caught like one or two passes, and I only know that because those two passes cost me a fantasy playoff week when I was like, enough already. The game's over. You know, he just got crumbled. Keep him out of there. Nope, they brought him in early third quarter to catch two senseless passes from Dak before they pulled all those starters. But, yeah, I'm just scared about the Cowboys. Amari Cooper bitched and moaned, and he got the fantasy targets this last week. But it could just as easily be Gallup or even CeeDee Lamb, who seems long overdue for kind of a big breakout game. Cardinals side, you mentioned it. James Conner come back, muddies the waters for that rushing attack.
Awful.
Without DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray is an average fantasy quarterback. He's not running enough. He had one game when he came back where he put two touchdowns. He's not running enough. He needs to run for 100 yards in this game to be fantasy viable, because other than that, it's this useless comeback mode shit that they've been kind of deploying the last couple of weeks, where he just dinks and dunks his way to like mediocrity. Like, it's there's no field stretchers without Hopkins. Christian Kirk's working underneath. Rondell Moore, I think, has been hurt. AJ Green disappeared last week. They have no tight ends. Like, there's no, it's the horizontal rate offense again. It's
Ertz.
You have to, with Ertz, you have to. Every single week.
I know.
Forget about him. That's how he's forgettable. You know, as a Philly fan. So, like, he just, they're easily defendable. And this Cowboys defense has been extremely opportunistic, you know, not only this past week, this year. So, I can see this getting ugly quick for the Cardinals. And then hopefully it turns into a lot of comeback mode in the second half, which they're just not going to be able to be rapid strike. Going to go Dallas prevent defense, and it'll be all this underneath. Like, Christian Kirk will have like 15 receptions for 72 yards at the end of the game. And hopefully that could mean some more Chase Edmonds. I wasn't a believer in Arizona, and that just continues to prove me right. I can see Dallas just stomping a hole in their ass in this one on Sunday and further.
I think that's likely. I also wouldn't be shocked to see Arizona do it to Dallas.
I just don't believe in Arizona offense.
Neither do I, but whatsoever. I don't believe in Dallas either.
Nah, they just have so much more offensive talent than Arizona really does, is where I fall back on. If Arizona loses a player, another one, whichever one, name the player.
Yeah.
It's just shut it down. Dallas can literally lose like two guys in game and still, like, they could lose Zeke and still have Tony Pollard. Now, I know if James Conner goes down, Chase Edmonds is still there, but you lose Amari Cooper in the game, Michael Gallup just jumps outside, Cedric Wilson jumps in a slot, and they're still, like, threatening.
Dallas, and I don't love their depth, for lack of a better term, but Dallas could lose CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, and Cooper, and I would feel fine with their fill-in.
Yes, Cedric Wilson, Malik Turner, just seem to make plays.
Turner, Noah, what's his name?
Noah Brown, yeah. Maybe get a little Simi Fehoko, and I don't know why I said CeeDee Lamb. Pretty much lives in the slot, so no one would be jumping into the slot if there was an injury. CeeDee Lamb's just going to remain there to perpetuity. But yeah, I agree. There's just so much more firepower with Dallas. And somehow I feel like still in that 56-point explosion that we still didn't see like the full breadth of the Cowboys offense. They had like two defensive touchdowns. You know, Zeke, you know, had a rush. Like, it's just still, it's 3-30-4, and it still didn't seem impressive by Dak. It just didn't against that team. Like, I think this could be a true, like, show for the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington Stadium. But moving on, we got a couple more. Let's press Carolina at New Orleans Saints. No one cares.
Easy one. So Alvin Kamara. And nothing else in this one.
Matt Rhule did come out and name Sam Darnold as a starter. I don't know what Matt Rhule's doing, but Sam Darnold as a starter, which should be good for DJ Moore, potentially. But, yeah, outside of that, nothing else. The Saints, you know, have been a pretty decent defense the last couple of weeks. If they've been just short-sticked, we should get Taysom Hill back, right? So, maybe. You're talking about streaming quarterback. If Taysom Hill's back, I'd rather start him over either player in that 49ers-Houston game that we mentioned earlier going to Carolina.
We've gone way too long on this dog shit game.
Yep. Sorry. What's the total in this game at all?
Total is I just lost.
Total shit. That's what you're supposed to say.
Total correct.
Shit. You got nothing.
38. So it's the second lowest, just a half point higher than the Bears and the Giants.
Yeah, just to kill another minute on this one, so I'm going to let you move on. Nick Wayman on Twitter asked something about Michael Thomas, like what's he worth? And I was like a third or a fourth maybe, but I'm not going to sell him for that if I'm an owner of him anywhere. What are your thoughts on Michael Thomas? You were talking about DK to start this. Like, where's Michael Thomas at in things? He's like long gone and forgotten.
Yeah, I traded him in the offseason for a first and Hollywood Brown. What a fucking win. Bargain that is now.
Yeah, stealing.
I would buy him for a third. But I'm not selling him for a third. So
that's where I'm at. I said he's the quintessential middle in fantasy. If you would acquire him, it's for too little than you'd even be willing to sell him for. So he's just stuck where he's at. I acquired him in a league for Julio Jones pretty much when Julio came back from the first time for injury. Still pretty optimistic about that because Julio Jones is super done. Maybe Michael Thomas can patch together one or two more volume-driven seasons, but I am extremely pessimistic about his future, not even in New Orleans, just in the NFL. I mean, he's just two lost seasons for him.
Yeah, and I mean, what's
malcontent
quarterback going to be? There's a lot of question marks around him.
Yeah, he might not be in New Orleans, actually.
I don't think he's in New Orleans, no.
No. So, three more games. Let's just rock. Your team, Detroit Lions at the Seattle Seahawks. What do you got for me in Seattle where, as I'm stringing it along and not letting you talk about it, it's supposed to be 41 and rain. So, CBS is all over the inaccuracies as far as weather forecasting is concerned.
Seattle 7-point home favorite, which just doesn't seem like enough, but Seattle's been a disappointment this year. Detroit 17.75, one of the fewest on the board this week too. Another one. I don't want any part of this. Penny's been good, so maybe Penny's the guy to have here. And Seattle's hasn't been great against opposing running backs, especially pass catchers. So I think Swift was already ruled out. I saw that he was, and I saw that he wasn't. I'm not quite sure. But the Detroit running backs, whoever's going to be catching the passes, if Swift is out, I think that's going to be Jamal Williams. I think you could play him pretty confidently, but nobody else in this game. I mean, Russ is not trustable anymore. Detroit quarterbacks, new thank you. Detroit wide receivers, no thank you. All the people want to, tout Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's a nice run. Can it be sustained? I don't know. Talk to me next year, but I'm not going to trust them this week to win a championship. And you started with Lockett's back. You mentioned Metcalf at the top. I'm not trusting Metcalf. If Lockett's in, I can trust him. But this game is pretty gross. Total's 42, which is right around sixth fewest, I think. No thanks.
Dan Campbell on DeAndre Swift will shut him down after Green Bay, quote unquote. So that's next week. So there's a chance DeAndre Swift plays this week, which, listen, one, it's just another one where it's like, okay, we'll talk real fantasy versus fantasy. Real football, okay. He's a grown man, do what he wants. Doesn't make any sense, in my opinion, for a lost season. Fantasy, there's no team that has DeAndre Swift that's playing in the championship this week. If you haven't had him for the last month.
Oh, I've got him in one.
The litany of injuries, I just find it hard-pressed to believe that you are able to navigate the fantasy waters. But, hey, if he's active, you're starting him against Seattle. Third in fantasy points, ladder running back. You mentioned it. The Detroit Lions are sixth. Rashad Penny, campaigning for a new contract tour. Continues as he needs to cobble together just two more strong weeks to either convince Seattle to reinvest or, to have a shine, a ray of light somewhere else, because I still burn the candle for Rashad Penny. If he can stay healthy for a full season, he is a top 18 fantasy running back.
Gross.
Seattle or not. Hopefully he gets out of Seattle, because as much as Pete Carroll wants to run, we both said that Seattle is going to be a dumpster fire a year from now. So moving on, Sunday Night Football. Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is out there just trying to claim the spotlight again, saying he's going to make a quick decision after this year on where he's going to be 2022. I've even read somewhere that he's kind of like dropping little nuggets about retiring, which there is 0% chance that Aaron Rodgers retires after the season, people. Give me the Minnesota at Green Bay, because if there was ever snow in a forecast, I have to believe, 12 degrees, but sun in Green Bay on Sunday Night Football.
As someone who's lived in cold weather, those are the shittiest days, actually. That's worse. Yeah. I'd rather it just snows a little bit. Yeah. At 12 degrees when it looks beautiful outside, you walk out there, this game's going to be – these guys are going to be dying.
Yeah.
Third highest total of the week, 47.5. You know, going back a few weeks here now, these Minnesota games are the ones we like for fantasy. I mean, they're able to put up points. Their defense is a –
Mike Zimmer's fake defense, 7th in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback, 9th to the running back, 2nd to the wide receiver. That's the Minnesota defense.
Yeah, so Green Bay is going to score a ton, but Minnesota probably will be able to get on the board quite a bit too. Thielen's out for the year now, so fire up all those Justin Jefferson shares. I'd be happy with Cousins. Dalvin Cook is supposed to be back, so I love him in this game. I don't necessarily trust any of the other Minnesota wide receivers, although they do get involved, especially if they're putting up some decent totals here. I have Tyler Conklin as my starting tight end in one league where I'm going for a championship. So fingers crossed that pans out, especially now that Thielen's out for sure. Green Bay, same thing, narrow distribution tree. Devontae Adams, both running backs are in play here. They've, you know, it's hurt Aaron Jones's upside a little bit, but he's still done enough to be a guy who happily play every week. And that's about it. I don't know if you're trying to roll the dice with the other wide receivers here. If MBS is back, I think he was out with COVID.
Lazard caught his game. Listen, of course he did. I told you last week that Aaron Rodgers flat out said that his first statement was, "I miss Lazard on a touchdown." I said, "Book it. Al Lazard is 100% getting a touchdown. Should have had two last week." Instead, it was Devontae Adams playing against me in my home league who caught two touchdowns as some of the shadiest defense I've ever seen in my life was played in that one. But, yeah, Green Bay, I mean, 17th to the tight end, but you're right. Conklin, now that Thielen is out, KJ Osborne's never going to be a volume guy. I'd be okay with Conklin because they're going to have to go find points going against those Packers in Green Bay. So almost start him as a wide receiver two type.
For
lack of a better word. But and you mentioned the Green Bay side. It's, you know, it's going to be those running backs. It's Devontae Adams. It's Aaron Rodgers. You know, Sunday Night Football, like this is a big-time spot. Where are they at? Did they lock everything up at this point in time for the playoff standings, Green Bay?
No.
12-1 team, I thought,
they can
right?
Still,
okay. There's a couple of 11-footers behind them.
If Tampa wins out, I think Tampa can
okay, because Dallas, Los Angeles, and Tampa are all 11-4, looking up at Green Bay, who has clinched the division, but still does have things to play for, and they will beat the Minnesota Vikings at home on Sunday Night Football. So, last but maybe certainly, definitely least, Cleveland Browns at the Ben Roethlisberger farewell tour, last stop. Heinz Field, week 17, because they're on the road in week 18, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, third lowest total on the week, 40.5. Cleveland, another disappointing year from the Browns for a myriad of reasons. But Pittsburgh is awful against the run. Cleveland wants to run the ball. Nick Chubb to the moon in this one. I love Chubb this week. Everybody else on Cleveland, I mean, you may have to play Landry, but other than that, I don't trust anybody here. On the Pittsburgh side of things, I think Cleveland's going to run the ball, and I don't think they're going to get enough work to trust anybody on offense. But, I mean, if Ben wants to go out and put on a laser show here, it's going to be Deontay Johnson and Claypool. It's the only guys that he has to throw to. So give me Deontay Johnson in this one. Obviously, Harris is in play just based on volume, but – I think this goes under the 40, so I'm not expecting a lot of fantasy points through scoring. So give me some yardage. So in that case, Chubb and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, man, like you think of Big Ben lasers, like lasers going straight lines. But if you look at all those like charting tools of passes, how like they all just stop at one point and just dip down to the reception. Like I figure like Big Ben's lasers are all just – they just quit.
Bendy lasers.
At a certain point, I asked my buddies this last week while we were sitting around watching the game on Christmas Day. What is the season high rush attempt total for Nick Chubb? One single game.
It's probably only 16.
See, you went even lower. One of my friends did the same too. He had 17 against Green Bay, which is what frustrated me. He had 23 the week prior, and that was it. He's only eclipsed 20 carries, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times all season. He was gashing Green Bay, and they did everything possible to get him off the field. They were doing this forcible, you know, D'Ernest Johnson gets a series, and they weren't committing to the run. They just kept letting Baker throw pick after pick after pick to lose that game. It's mind-numbing how they don't use their best asset. Nick Chubb should never see under 20 rushes in a game.
This is not unique to them. Look around the fucking league.
It's nuts.
They do dumb shit all the time.
Well, listen, you look at Derrick Henry. They're like, we will run you literally into the physical ground because you are just a short-term asset. Like, they're trying to prolong Nick Chubb, and it's to their own detriment. It really is. Like, I get it. When Kareem Hunt's there, he should see playing time. But when he is not, Nick Chubb should see a minimum of 25 rush attempts in a game. Last week was the perfect example of one that wasn't away from him. They lost it because they were trying to let Baker Mayfield win it for him rather than riding their running back, who was just cutting up the Packers for 5 to 7 yards every time he touched the ball. Yeah, I mean, for Christ's sake, he had like a 40-yard catch, which just is impossible for Nick Chubb to have on the first drive. Like, he just – they wanted to lose the game. That is my only my only summation. And they'll probably lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers here because it's Big Ben's final game at home when they should kick the dick off of them. And then Pittsburgh has to go to Baltimore in the last week, which could be a win and get in for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, Big Ben should be sent out on his shield by two division rivals. And somehow I think he's going to win this Cleveland game. And then if there's no Lamar Jackson somehow in week 18, he may – be able to eke out a win against the Ravens. Like, it would be so 2021 and Big Ben to win these two meaningless games, go out, and then it negatively impact the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise by moving that first round pick into like the team
to the 21. Yeah,
when it's all said and done, that would just not surprise me at all. But Nick Chubb should have 250 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. He should do what Dalvin Cook did to this Pittsburgh Steelers team 2 weeks ago.
Except he's going to get 14.
He's going to get 17 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown, and probably won't even see a target.
14 carries and one target.
Yep, that's it. That's what it's going to be. Pittsburgh, you nailed it. You know, it's Deontay Johnson. I'm not starting Chase Claypool anywhere. He's back to Clay Chase Pool. You know, making bonehead plays, not getting the volume. He's been an absolute disaster this year for a team that stinks. And Najee Harris has been just a liability too. I mean, that guy is just volume. We say volume is king. Is it? Doesn't seem to matter for Najee Harris anymore. He's all that team has in the backfield. And what's it worth? You look at this Najee Harris character real quick and see what he's done last couple weeks. I mean, he got the 93 rushing against Kansas City, 12 for 18 the week before against Tennessee, 20 for 94. Okay. All right. Got that touchdown against Minnesota week prior, 21 for 71. Nothing. Week before that, 8 for 23, nothing. Week before that, 12 for 39. Good thing he got a touchdown. Hasn't had a 100-yard rushing performance since he played Detroit back in November 14th. He's getting a volume. Talk about another guy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 20 rush attempt games for Najee Harris, more than Nick Chubb has had. And this Pittsburgh Steelers team has been trailing constantly. Browns need to look at what the Steelers have done this year and just force feeding Najee Harris, regardless of scenario. It hasn't been to their benefit, and he really hasn't gotten the job done. But all in all, still better running back utilization.
I'm gonna make you sick on our way out here. You ready for this fun stat, real quick? The two games that the stupid Browns started D'Ernest Johnson.
Oh yeah, I know.
The first one, 22 carries, 2 targets. And 146 yards and touchdown and 22 in the air. And the other game, 19 carries for 99 yards with 8 targets and 7 receptions for 58.
Hey, workhorse.
So Chubb's out. Yeah. D'Ernest Johnson gets the work you want. But
absolute workhorse. And I like D'Ernest Johnson. I think he's talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he maybe gets a shot, likely doesn't. He's just going to disappear likely after this season. But yeah, it's always anyone but Chubb. I feel like we could probably look back at the games that Chubb missed that Kareem Hunt was active last year. And Kareem Hunt, I remember he was like supposed to like win everyone weeks. And I think he dropped the ball a ton of times, but it wasn't because he didn't get volume. He got all the volume. He just wasn't productive with it in those couple spots last year. So it's anyone but Chubb can just be a workhorse when Chubb's their only workhorse back.
Just, it's disgusting.
Unbelievable. So they also said that Anthony Schwartz is taking Donovan Peoples-Jones starting position because Donovan Peoples-Jones
officially?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So a little nugget there for you.
So that should do it. Tie a little bow on this atrocious week 17. But yeah, good luck in your fantasy championships or toilet bowls or whatever it is you're looking to do this week. For myself, John DeBari, for my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Out! But before we go, who is the unheralded Week 17 Fantasy Football Championship winner? Out of nowhere. Just you're like, yep.
Hold on, let me look at the sheet. What, per position or overall?
Who's the guy who jumps out? Who's the lock?
Let's go nuts. Trey Lance.
Look at you. I said Boston Scott before this. That is a little too on the nose. So I'm going to say that Foster Moreau scores two touchdowns against the Colts.
I'll go Tyler Conklin as another one.
Tight end season for
– Here, we got a couple good names here. Trey Lance, Boston Scott, Conklin. We got Foster Moreau. What wide receivers do we think have a shocker out here? This one's harder, which is surprising.
Even though you think it's going to be disappointing in the outcome, I do think Gabe Davis returns. He literally would have did what Isaiah McKenzie did the week prior. I have no doubt about it. You know, it's just opposite Trey Diggs. Trey Diggs is going to have, I can't remember the cornerback, but the cornerback, he's good for the Falcons. His name is just escaping me. I think he played for Clemson. But opposite Trey Diggs. Stephon Diggs is going to be a boon for the Bills. And if it's Gabriel Davis back, he's going to have the week. I needed him to have a week ago.
Not that it's a sleepery name, but Van Jefferson. He could get in the end zone twice. Here's our dog shit
deal. Oh, I mean, listen, find the Rams. Find the Rams pass catchers. I mean, there's the obvious. And I mean, all three wide receivers will score a touchdown against the Ravens. Beckham, Jefferson, and Kupp all score.
It's possible. There's a dart throw DFS lineup. Trey Lance, Boston Scott, Tyler Conklin, Foster Moreau, Van Jefferson, and Gabe Davis. There you go. And enjoy your $1 million, folks.
Exactly. And then just throw in those studs. Add Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp because you're going to have plenty of money left over.
Well, if we're going Trey Lance, we got to stack a niner in there. Debo?
Kittle? Wow, we already have tight ends. Yeah, Debo's hard to argue with. He's going to get backfield work in that read option type offense with Trey Lance.
I'm actually going to put that. That's going to be a stupid lineup I put in.
Go get that money.
Well, I can't play for real money. I'm in fucking stupid Nevada.
Send me the lineup. I'll put it in for it.
Fucked. All right. Cool. All right. So good luck. We're taking next week off, so we will be back following a disappointing week 18 to take a look at the fantasy playoff leagues, NFL playoff fantasy leagues. I don't know how you say it without sounding confusing.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So enjoy the week off. Enjoy the new year. See everybody a year from now. Woohoo.
2022.
I like that one. You got to close with that from now. Every show next year. The new year's rooster. Oh, I like that.
No. The battery died on my adapter to my computer was off when I came home. But I don't know what would lead to these. I mean, that makes sense. That one is looking at the wall behind my computer. So it should be the front cam, which now I see the light coming on my Surface, which is what I always use. Just might have to take my word for it. I am here. This is really me.
It's a beautiful eggshell finish on the wall, though.
I appreciate that. You know, I've learned to go
highlight that.
I've learned to go with the non satins, as you can't clean them. Right, that high gloss shit. Once you wipe it once, that spot's not high gloss anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I mainly use them in the bathroom.
The what? The high gloss?
Yeah. Right. Really? I don't remember what the fucking stupid rules are supposed to be, but
yeah, I mean, fuck the rules. I don't go above satin. No high gloss for me.
Say, I go the opposite. I'm a heavy high gloss guy.
You're a heavy gloss guy. You like that shine.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, they say it's easier to clean too, but now you're saying when you clean it, you lose that gloss. So now I gotta.
At least I have. So maybe it's the quality of the paint I was using. Yeah, let's blame it on that.
I get the bear marquee premium.
Fancy mug of yours.
My bear premium.
All right. 40, I mean, you 46, don't go half ass, right?
46 a gallon at Home Depot.
Oh yeah, see, it's unacceptable.
Well, I've gone with the cheaper shit, like you're saying with cleaning it. I've cleaned it and then like the fucking top layer comes off.
That's what I'm saying. The shine's gone and you can see this. You can see where you wiped it.
No, I mean but paint also, actually. Oh, you can see the fucking white underneath or whatever.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And then whenever you try and touch something up, there's a distinct difference in that part.
No. I've had good luck with touch-ups.
I say I'm talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, some I'm usually pretty cheap, but yeah, there's a few things I will splurge on. Paint is one of them.
Yeah, I'm condiments. I don't go cheap on condiments. Name brand everything. There's a difference to me, but I'm looking for paint deals. But this house we did go with better paint. I'll agree with that. But it was painted.
Yeah,
by and large, I've painted certain spots myself that then you kind of have to use the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but let me see something right now. Let's see if I can fix this real quick.
I'm thinking about condiments. Thinking about comparing.
It should. It matters.
I mean, French's mustard and that. What's that other one that comes in like a barrel? Plotchman's or whatever it's called.
Say Golden's. Golden's.
Well, Golden's does the spicy. They don't make it plain yellow, do they?
Yeah, they make everything.
They make Golden's has just a plain yellow mustard.
Yes.
Really? I've never noticed.
How do I?
You know what I will only buy the generic cheap version of from now on? It's cereal.
Yeah, there's no difference. My kids like the generic better.
So do I. Most of them.
Yeah, there's still certain cereals that I like the name brand better. Like Special K is better than the knockoff healthy cereal, but most of the other shit, like Fruit Loops and all the kids stuff, Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, all that shit. The kids actually like the knockoff stuff more.
Are you getting the regular, the plain Special K?
Nah, I'm like fruit and yogurt one guy or whatever that is.
Yes, no, the regular Special K is disgusting.
Yes,
but yeah, all their specialty offshoots are fucking good.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of whatever the fruit one is. Yogurt clusters.
Yeah, love that.
The strawberry as well, like that.
The one with the fucking candy in it, the chocolate one.
I didn't get that far. It's got candy inside it.
It's just, I mean, it's the fucking little rectangles of fucking chocolate in there. It's just broken pieces of a chocolate bar.
Ah, I mean, that sounds like it's not breakfast, but I guess.
Correct, but it's good. It's got to be shit for you.
All right, I've given up trying to fix the camera. So all my efforts are in vain. It'll work right after we're done recording.
I'm going to stop my cam because I don't know who the fuck is doing. Let me yell at everyone again. I said you're loud. I don't know why the fuck it's so loud today. Let me see if this changes anything with this fucking mic. Drill a hole in it. It'll be more familiar.
There you go. And your glory holes. No stopping you.
Remember when I moved out to Vegas, me and my buddy, we were driving. We were in, South Dakota, I think. And it's a fucking middle of nowhere truck stop. I don't remember the date. We'll just say it was November 30th. But there was a fucking thing on the wall in there. It said, I was there the 30th. So I think the sign said the 31st, something like that. And it said, be here November 31st with the hard cock.
I mean, that's literally
at the time I was there too, like 7:30. I was like, oh shit, tomorrow nights.
It was a day too early. That's like the Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yeah, I know that there's a scene. I don't remember it. I've only seen it like once.
I mean, it definitely doesn't say with a hard cock, but what's the name? Jim Carrey sitting down. They think take a shit on the toilet, and he looks up, and on the wall it says something like, "Be here at so and so at this time." And then he looks down at his watch, and the second hand moves right to that time, and the door opens up, and then the guy walks in and kicks the bathroom door open, and Jim Carrey screams like a little girl, and the guy, I'm pretty sure, is Cam Neely. I think it's the old Boston Bruins. Hockey player? I think it's the guy who plays the role.
I saw it once, so I don't remember. But yeah, I saw it in person. A similar thing.
You were there?
Yeah.
You were that guy?
It said, show hard.
Show hard. Yeah, so don't come half-ass. I mean, that's clearly the show title. Week 17, show hard. That was easy. Usually trying to figure these out. That was an easy one. It's a perfect week to show hard. So
that same bathroom too had the most futuristic sink I ever had. Just had a hole in the wall, and it said like stick your hands in or something. But it did everything in one hole. You put your hands in, soap shot out them, then water shot out, then it blew air out of the same fucking semicircle in a wall. I was amazed. This is like 2003. It's not that crazy now, but back then I was like, what? This is like a Jetsons bathroom in the middle of level fucking nowhere.
Blind faith that you have in things. Yeah. You and holes in walls are just, I mean, there's just no hesitation with you. And meanwhile, there's like a 67-year-old guy in his underwear on the other side, pissing on your hands, lotioning them up for you to blow drying them. His mouth
could be a lady.
Could have been, but unlikely. The equality wasn't there in 2003. Yeah, male's only job.
Super clean the hotel room when we got in there. I had like the surface wipes, but then after a while, when you learned it wasn't alive on fucking surface. I was like, well, fuck all this. What am I doing here?
Goddamn Lysol. Trying to convince me.
Big Lysol pinching the little guy. Big wet wipes.
Goodness gracious. We thought it was just the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. It's big wet wipe cash in there.
Fuckers. Big wet wipe. Show hard might get bumped for big wet wipe.
There you go.
I'm gonna lie. We got options here. Big wet wipe. Phenomenal. All right, let's do this, buddy.